He promises good. Don't believe in him blind, for seven detestable things fill his mind. His hatred by his own deceit is concealed. His wickedness will to a crowd be revealed. That was Proverbs chapter 26, verses 25 and 26, Little Children, from the Ward Green version of 2004, our daily proverb for today. We're continuing Trojan War chapter 12. We're nearly finished this article now, of course, because this is the final chapter. There's one error in this paragraph 5 of chapter 12 I noticed in preparing this, and that is the date of Sorkon the Third is not Tuach at 14. That was from Sorkon the First. He had a year 3 date, which is Tuach at 14. If you look back in chapter 9, that's where that is. But in fact, maybe I can find it and show you right now. Actually, I think I can. Here it is. So in chapter 9, paragraph 4, we see that there's a year 3, Tuach at 14, lunar day 2, for Sorkon the First. But the one I want to show you that is the one that's really true for Sorkon the Third, and I will edit this article and fix this, of course, when I have time to do it, along with all the other editing which the article requires. The date is 8/22, October 4th. 3 Parrot 22, or Famenoth 22, for Sorkon the Third. That's Lunar Day 1, as is clearly evident here. New Moon at 6 in the morning, local time in Egypt, 6:37 that is, local time, calculated by the Liab calculator on the Will of Jehovah webpage. But so there's just one error there in that chapter. Errors are always unfortunate, no matter when they occur. And I do apologize for that, because I'm not always correcting my errors in advance. And I think it's probably better that way, because I never really get to fully assess all the errors and evaluate what changes need to be made until after I've presented to as many people as possible. So that's the error in this chapter, paragraph of this chapter, 12.5. From chapter 5, the chronology of QWP, which is quilt work patch, is now absolute. I should be screaming this. I don't want to saturate the mic. That's overload the system, and I don't use compressors on my audio, so I have that potential problem that I could clip. If the signal gets clipped, it can't be fixed. It distorts. You can't adjust it afterwards, so we've got to speak quietly. But from chapter 5, the chronology of QWP is now absolute, with an exclamation point, because this was a huge, huge discovery in chapter 5, and it included that date from Sorkon the Third, which was 3 Parrot 22, and which I wrote incorrectly as 2 Akkad 14 later in this paragraph. That was one of the discoveries, was that year 3 of Sorkon, that we could shift it back 3 years from where we had it in our previous work. The year, also the year 14 and 23 Tepishemus of Sorkon the Second, now prove our chronology. That was huge. That was the most shocking discovery. Well, because I found, we had already found 944 for Sorkon the First, and then based on Manetho, I guess I'll have to look at that. But before we even go there, let me show you where the name Thuoris came from. in yesterday's study, it was from the book of Sothis, where it says, Thuoris, 50 years, this is the Polybus of Homer, who appears in the Odyssey as husband of Alcandra. That was the reference. But if you look back, that was number 58 in the book of Sothis, which is in the book by Waddell, 1940, which is called Meniso. What is it called? Meniso? This is the book of Sothis. This is, in fact, the very last, is it? No. This is the continuing book of Sothis. So I took from Suzakim, who is Shishak, from his reign. We just ignore the number of years because we're starting from the beginning of his reign, going back. And we go back 42, you know, plus 39, plus 28, plus 50, plus 27, plus 14, plus 26, plus 45, plus 20, plus 4, plus 13, plus 19, plus 17, plus 993, which is year one of Shishak, and we get 1337, which is even prior to, these are all the year numbers here, 42, 39, 28, 50, 27, 14, 26, 45, 20, 4, 13, 19, 7, and 17 for Thuoris. And so the beginning of Thuoris, according to this, is 1337, which is wrong because Rameses II, who reigned 66 years, is number 47 on this list, given as 68, which is not quite right, but for all we know, maybe it is right and there's just something slightly wrong that we have. But we believe it's 66 for him, but at least that identifies him as being Rameses II, because it says 68 years, which very few kings would approach for a duration of their reign. And he's followed by Amenophis, that's Merneptah, who reigned about 10 years, I think we have. It's either 9 or 10. I think it's 10 years we have for Merneptah, yeah. So he's given 8 years here, so we can see good correspondence in the numbers of years, so we know that's Rameses II. And the end of the reign of Merneptah was 1239 BCE, so we know that we're way off for Thuoris, who actually comes after... That's Tuzrit, evidently, because she reigns after her husband, and her husband began in 1234. Merneptah ended in 12... he ends in 1239, is that right? I think so. 66, yeah, because 1315 minus 66 is 1249, minus 10 is 1239. So there's 5 years when somebody else ruled, and then Thuoris, who subsumed her husband's reign. The beginning of this new dynasty, I believe, is what that is. I'm trying to think if that's correct. Let me think. Sethnacht ruled, that's right. I guess for 5 years. That's what I'm thinking. But it's in the Crucible article. That's where the information is about the reign of Tuzrit and all the reigns, in the Iron Furnace at the bottom of part one of the Crucible article. So this is, it should be 1234 for Tuzrit, and it's 1337, we just calculated. Obviously, there's way too many years in here, given in the Book of Sothis for these kings. They're just greatly exaggerated in terms of the numbers of years, and maybe even the numbers of the kings on this part of the list is excessive. So anyway, that's what happened. But that's Tuzrit, you see. I mean, all of Manetho and all of the Egyptian rule, as recorded by the ancients, is grossly deficient. It's very much lacking, and that's why we, as chronologers, are so interested, and that's why we must be so diligent in our work today. Because Manetho isn't perfect, and the Book of Sothis, as another source, which is sometimes associated with Manetho, is also not perfect. But the lunar eclipse we discovered... Well, let's first of all continue what we're talking about there. 944, you see, we discovered that, right? And then we can go down here. Maybe I can get there. Dynasty, that was pretty quick, wasn't it? what were we talking about? Nine forty-four. Right. So we're just about one dynasty. I went the wrong way. That's all. Go this way, and you see Shishak 21 and 15. Right. But on the list of Africanus for Dynasty 22, Shishak, Osorkon are 1 and 2 here, called Sisonkos and Osorthon. But then 3, 4, and 5 are unnamed, but they're given 25 years for those pharaohs. So we know that 944, the end of the reign of Osorkon, is followed by 25 more years of three kings, according to Manetho. And that's 944 minus 25, right, which is 919. We should do that. Just we have very little to do today, it seems like. So I'm going to be trying to add a few things into the topic here. But 944 minus 25 is 919, you see? So we got 919 for the beginning of Takelot, who reigned 13 years, right? And that was Takelot the first. And so 919, okay, let's subtract the 13 years of Takelot from that 919, we get 906. So I thought to myself, as I was discovering these things, I said, okay, we now know, at this point in my research, I had more confidence in the death of Osorkon in 944 than I had ever had before. So knowing, having that confidence, not ever really knowing, but having the confidence, I said, well, let's subtract the 25 years of Manetho and the for those three kings, and the 13 years of the next king, Takelot. And I got 906, and I thought, well, let's see whether, does 906 really, really possibly correlate well with Osorkon II? You know, is it really going to be a good correspondence? And I was willing to say, well, this, you know, one of the few times where I actually had a date for a king that I could use some information to try and confirm. And that was the dates, which were the two Tepe-Shemus of year 14 and year 23, respectively, for Osorkon II. We had these Tepe-Shemus in those years. And we found lunar alignments that confirmed the year 1, 906, which absolutely boggled my mind completely. It was just, it was the best case scenario in every sense. Like, to be able to confirm the year 1 of a king instead of having to just generate it from some brute force method or some radiocarbon data or some nonsense. Which basically, it's nonsense if you can't start with something. All these chronologies are nonsense when they come from out of the blue, you know, when they're just, or when they're done using number crunching. Like, no offense, but what Mr. Krauss did in determining the year 1, for example, I think it was Takelot that he did that for, Takelot the second, but the approach that many scholars, not just Mr. Krauss, take, which is to just find the best fit without knowing where at all, anywhere, without having any clue in any sense at all where in time they should be looking. And this is the absolute key here. In time, where should you look? When you're looking for something, you need to know where in time you're looking. Because if you're digging in a city, if you're looking in the present day, you're going to look on the top layer. If you're looking in 4,000 years ago, you're going to dig a certain depth, a certain number of layers are going to have to be dug up to get there. You have to know where you're looking, right? And people have not at all used that idea. They've never used that idea. And the only reason we used it was because we had to. Because our chronology demanded it. In other words, we had to find confirmation for everything. Because why is the question, right? But why would we need confirmation, right? But everybody needs confirmation. But the point is, most people can't do it the way we do it because they don't have the right chronology to start with. So even if they try to look in time, they won't find anything. The time they're looking in or at won't give them any information. Like if we looked for something that would confirm a certain pharaoh, like find a cartouche of a certain pharaoh in a certain layer of a certain city, if we weren't in the right time period, we'd have no hope of finding that cartouche, essentially. Or if we did find it, it would just put us off the trail. If we were looking in the wrong layer and found it, that would just totally, you know, destroy what we were... I mean, it would give us a wrong idea and destroy all of what we'd been doing, or it would give us a false sense of security or set us on a false trail. It would begin a wild goose chase, basically, if we didn't know where to look at the beginning. So that we need the chronology, first of all. And that's what we had when we had 906 for year one of Osorkon II. That was the most exciting thing, I think, ever in the BG research. Now, the death of Osorkon confirmed Osorkon II, right? Because we knew what that was. We, according to the Bible chronology, we know from the Bible that Osorkon, or as he's called Zerah, the Ethiopian, but Osorkon I died in year 14 of King Asa in the Bible when all the Ethiopians were defeated. Works perfectly in our chronology as 944. Fits with all the other things in the Bible that tell us that we know when Solomon's year one was because we know how many years of kings ruled. And we know, of course, also that Samaria was captured in year six of Hezekiah, according to the Bible. And all that's 719, with year one of Hezekiah in 725. And our chronology is what we're using to get that. But the 719 also agrees with a lot of other things because it's also the siege of Samaria went on for three full years, and it's associated with the Assyrian king, Sargon II, and his claim of having been ruling from 722 is very much established, or actually it's 721 or 719. But the siege, because there are two different Assyrian chronologies, which are 2 years different for him, even for that one alone. And, you know, there are different Limmu lists that actually conflict with each other in the Assyrian chronology. In some cases, there's even a 50-year gap in the whole chronology of Assyria prior to 747. But back at this time of, or later, at this time in 721, Shalmaneser the Fifth, I believe it was. Yeah, Shalmaneser the Fifth ruled for about 5 years, from 725 to 722, and he was the one, according to the Bible, who began the siege on Samaria. So it fits perfectly with the Bible and the chronology that's given by secular historians. So we know when Samaria fell, and we know it was year six of Hezekiah from the Bible, and we know we can calculate back from there to get to Solomon, and everything we found agreed with this, including the date of the Exodus and so on. But when we came down to this time of Osorkon, we didn't have any doubt it was 944. So when the date 906 was arrived at, using Manetho to give us a rough idea where was year one of Osorkon II, we were absolutely shocked, or my mind was completely boggled by this discovery that, in fact, 906 works perfectly according to the lunar alignments for these two Tepe Shemus. Now, we also discovered a lunar eclipse in 856 BCE, and I say newly discovered because it was newly discovered for us, but it wasn't newly discovered for Mr. Gertu, I don't believe, for example. And other people possibly had found the year one of 866 for Takelot II. So this eclipse of 856 is year 11, and but also the lunar eclipse of year 15 as recorded on Missouri 29 shortly after the war broke out. In year 15 when Pejabast invaded Thebes, and the 4 days from Missouri 25, the record date accepted by most, to an actual eclipse occurrence on Missouri 29. Formerly, what prevented us from accepting it may have resulted from the confusion of the events of the night of the eclipse, during which time Pejabast I defeated the forces of Osorkon the High Priest, who was the record keeper, and Osorkon the High Priest, we believe, later became the pharaoh, Osorkon III, but this high priest was ousted from Thebes and thus prevented from doing the record-keeping at the time of this invasion and conquest by Pejabast of Thebes in year 15 of Takelot II. In retrospect, Osorkon III, as he later became known when he was pharaoh, likely restored the record of that night as best he could from his recollection. This would explain the date given for the insurrection, which was the date Missouri 25. According to most scholars, that was the record that was kept by the priest for that particular event. As being too early for the eclipse date, as during the war it may have seemed that more days passed than did. So this would explain the date being too early by 4 days. The absolute dating of the year 1 of Takelot, that's Takelot II, who is the father, we believe, of Osorkon III. I think he was a predecessor, and I think he was the father of Osorkon III. The absolute dating of the year 1 of Takelot as 866 now, with the year 11 being 856, is, and we also said maybe he was 867 even, which is still only 11 years prior to 856. But it's not proven by the eclipse date alone, the 866, but by very many other dates that are aligned with it, before and after it, which had, due to time, been formerly overlooked. The irrefutable nature of it includes a year 3 date at Karnak of Osorkon III. And this is where we insert the new date. Not the new date, but the correct date that was given in the Chapter 5, which was 3 Parat 22, not 2 Akut 14. And it was a lunar day 1, though, in the year 822. That part's correct. It's just the Egyptian month and day that are miss. I must have taken it from my memory here when I was writing this, and I didn't double check it, so I got it wrong there. But it should be 3 Famenoth 22. I mean 3 Parat, which is called Famenoth, 3 Parat 22, and an Apis installation in year 12 of Shoshank the Fifth. That was incredible. The Apis installation in that same chapter 5, in year 12 of Shoshank the Fifth, was a full moon date that we, because always are these dates full moon for the installation of an Apis bull. And the lunar day is absolutely important, but it's not the astronomical full moon that's the one of interest. It's the day 15. It's the lunar day 15. For the Egyptians, and we take lunar day 1 for the Egyptians as the day after last visibility. So the day after last visibility is lunar day 1 for the Egyptians, and we always, for an Apis installation, believe almost with 100% certainty that it has to be lunar day 15. And we found it. We found it using our chronology. We found the year 12, but we also did a variety. We did use the shotgun method for that particular case. Also, we tried a lot of different dates to see whether any of them worked. The only one we found that worked was year 12 in our chronology, which was for Shawshank the Fifth, year 12, starting from 805. What is year 12? What is that? 8794. No, this can't be right. Well, what was year 37? Is this wrong as well? I'm going to have to check that now. Year 1 of pi is raised to 788, though, based on that. But we got to go back, and that allows for the last few years of PAMI, which are those years. PAMI rule for longer than this time given here, but these are the last few years. 807 to 805 are the last few years of PAMI. And they're allowed for because we were able to raise year 1 of pi, which we had put at, I think it was prior to this, 784, wasn't it? But we raised it to 788 because of the fact that Osorkon III was raised by 3 years to 824, and we previously had him at 821. And if, you know, when you change an Egyptian date by 3 years, it changes the lunar day by 3 days. If you go back 3 years, you cause the lunar day number to be reduced by three also. So it went from lunar day four to lunar day one for Osorkon the Third because of being year 1, 824, and year 3, 822, 3 years earlier than previously. But Shawshank the Fifth, let's look that up, year 12 of Shawshank the Fifth. That's our last thing that we should do here, maybe. Well, other than whatever else we have time for and whatever else we decide. So, was that in this chapter? I don't even know if that was in this chapter. No, that was in chapter 6, right. The year 12, wasn't it? Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. Year 12 is Shawshank the Fifth, right. So when is year 12 in our chronology? Let's find out. Here it is. It works. Yeah, it's 794 in our chronology. Year 12 of Shawshank the Fifth with his year 1 in 805. BCE, counting the years backwards in the BCE time period, right? From 805 to 794, that's a difference of 11 years, so it's year 12 of Shawshank the Fifth in 794 in our chronology, which is the Blessed Genealogy, the quilt work patch version in this article. And that it worked out well, so I mean, perfectly. It was a phenomenal alignment, but that's chapter 6. So what was I thinking? Did I not look back and see that? Did I mistake that? I don't know. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mentioned the Apis Bull in chapter... Yeah, it's scheduled for tomorrow's study, that particular study, right? Which we will review tomorrow. So that's in paragraph 12.6 that we're scheduled to look at tomorrow. So, yeah, I mentioned it here, though, in the review of chapter 5, because it's such an important and conclusive, you know, point to be made about the proof of the genealogy. It's so impactful, so wonderful. It was just so exquisite to find that year 12 date for the Apis Bull installation as an exact religious full moon, which is always lunar day 15 for the Egyptians. Lunar day 15 for them is their religious full moon. Now, whether they cared about the astronomical full moon or not, we don't really know very much about that, I don't believe, at this point. I don't think we do know that at this point. I don't think they did at this point because they were consumed by their religion. They did everything according to their religion. They had lots and lots of ceremonies and things they had to perform all the time with regard to their religion, which was based on the moon, except for the time of Akhenaten when they worshipped the sun because of the rebellion of Akhenaten in 1375 while he was co-ruling with his father, Amenhotep III. And by the way, Akhenaten is also called Amenhotep IV sometimes, and not just Akhenaten. So, and that time period, 1375, for year one of Akhenaten, is quite a long ways before this time period that we're talking about here. And so we have even more confidence in the later time periods, because the further back we go, of course, the more likely there are to be errors creeping in. But we still have enormous confidence in the dating of way back to even the deluge now, because of the confirmation we got from the Ark Wood that was found by Mr. Wyatt, and because of the work of Mr. Whitelaw, we're able to arrive at a perfect date, a perfectly agreeable date for the time when the wood was harvested 5 years before the ark was built, or begun to be built, in 3287 BCE, if we take the 3282 of our chronology as the deluge date. It's 5 years that the Book of Jasher said the ark was built. And the Book of Jasher doesn't have the authority of Scripture, but the fact that it said 5 years, and that we found a date for the ark with it was 5 years previous to the deluge date in our chronology, was just a magnificent discovery and proof of our chronology. We're done. Look at that. We've just used our time. And, oh, there's so many. I've got a new thing installed in my house now. It's a capacitive water softener, which I just installed. It can be installed by anybody. It doesn't require any particular technical, or it doesn't require a lot of skill. It can be done by virtually anyone. It's August 24th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 23:01 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you for listening and watching. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. And we've been having marvelous weather these days. Just amazing weather. Phenomenal. On my behalf, this is Liv Dusty. This is Cassie. And they're saying, bye for now. And we've just studied Chapter 12, Paragraph 5 of the article Trojan War from 2015 by yours truly.